The gospel lesson comes to us from Luke chapter 6. We're in the first 11 verses. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of wheat and rubbed them in their hands and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man whose hand was withered, "Come and stand here." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or destroy it?" After looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and it was restored. And they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, as we look at this text, and we look once again to your revelation, look for you revealing yourself to us through these sacred stories and through Christ. We would ask that our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes might be opened for what you have for us. Amen. Now, to be a bit distracting for just a minute, I've given the ushers something to pass out to you. And I'm hoping by the end of the sermon it starts to make sense. You'll receive an object. It's yours to keep. I do invite the parents to use their own judgment on whether they feel their children can keep the object off of the pews and other things. It might be destructive. Now you're all curious, aren't you? That's the point. Well, as we get into the text today, we need to look at the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath comes to us in the fourth commandment in the book of the Decalogue, what we consider the Ten Commandments. And some have considered it maybe, perhaps, the most important commandment because it connects our vertical relationship, our relationship with God and ourselves, and our relationship to one another. Because in the first four commandments, in the first table or tablet of the commandments, you have to have no other gods, or have no other idols, to not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and to keep the Sabbath day, and to make it holy, this vertical relationship. And then on the second table, going from keep the Sabbath day and make it holy, we move then into don't commit, honor your father and mother. Don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. So the Sabbath here stands as sort of the center point between the two places, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And what's interesting about the Sabbath, as we read in the call to worship, in one place in the book of Exodus, it comes to us sort of with the reasoning or the rationale, "You shall keep the Sabbath day and make it holy, because it was in 6 days that the Lord your God made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day he rested." And so in one sense, we're meant to keep the Sabbath, because it is a reminder that all of life is a gift. It's created by God and given to us, and our whole world is a gift. Our own lives are a gift. And in another sense, it's a reminder that we're meant to enjoy this creation and this life. And still, maybe even a further sense, it's a reminder to take a moment and pause and enjoy all that we've been able to create and do in our 6 days of work. Now, in another place, in the book of Deuteronomy, when the commandments are listed again, we are given a different rationale for the fourth commandment. In this commandment, it says, "You are to keep the Sabbath day and make it holy because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt," that brought you out of slavery. So in another sense, the Sabbath is meant to remind us that we are free. We don't have to work for everything. We don't have to provide for ourselves, that there's maybe still something else that provides for us. A reminder that we aren't slaves to our own work, activities, whatever it is that keeps us so busy that sometimes we fail to stop and pay attention to what really matters. And it is in this way that Jesus really gets to the heart of the Sabbath in really one line. The Sabbath is meant to do what gives us life. To do what gives us life. And yet, this is really hard to do. It sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But why is it that we struggle to do what gives life? You might think, if it's so easy to do, or what is the secret, I guess? If it's so hard to do, what's the secret to the Sabbath? Well, it's sort of hidden in the commandment, I think, right there, almost. Not even hidden, but just in plain view. Not only are we meant to keep the Sabbath, but we are to keep it holy. Now, holiness is a word that's interesting. I think for a lot of us, it has this connotation of sort of better than, holier than thou, right, is sort of this phrase that we use. If you're holier than me, right, you're a better person or better, more spiritual or something. But in reality, the word holiness actually means something like different from or to be set apart more than it means better than. And this becomes incredibly crucial because if we are able to set apart or to make a day different from the rest of the days, then we might be awakened in that time, have space maybe to give meaning and purpose to the rest of our lives. But as I mentioned, this is really hard to do for a variety of reasons. One, we live in a 24/7 society, right? We work in all days of the week. We have activities in all days of the week. We have our phones, right, that connect us constantly to things happening everywhere on the planet. We have this internet which connects all people in all times. And I don't know about you, but when we lack this holiness, when we lack this sort of set-apartness, it feels like we're losing ourselves. And all areas of my life bleed into all other areas of my life. When it's hard to separate my family time from my work time, from my leisure time, or my rest time, it's hard to find that moment that's giving me life. So I made a list things of ways in which I feel like I can tell that people aren't keeping the Sabbath or a Sabbath. And I don't know, you might have your own list too about society, but some of the things I thought is, you know, I can't tell you how many times I come across people who are questioning their purpose in life, the value of what they do. So many people are lonely. Then, of course, there's even society ills. There's so much financial stress out there. People struggling with weight. People are tired. Constantly struggling with this myself, but having cluttered minds, cluttered lives. We feel rushed all the time, don't we? And we're anxious. We're anxious people, often living with fears. I wonder, I don't know if you wonder, but I do. I wonder if we don't really just need this day, a day of the week, to do what gives life rather than what takes it. There's a book that the pastors of our presbytery have been reading together. It's from Lillian Daniels, who's a popular author and pastor. And the book is called I'm Tired of Apologizing for a Church I Don't Belong to. And in the book, she's essentially talking about the rise of SBNRs, the spiritual but not religious folks, who find themselves, you know, wanting to do things spiritual but having trouble participating in institutionalized or organized religion like this one here. But she also speaks about the danger of being spiritual but not religious, which is to say that there's no outside checks. It's like everything else in our lives, like when we're ordering at Burger King, right? It's the have it your way spirituality. You get to pick and choose what you think would be meaningful or fun or helpful. But in her book, she has this wonderful quote, I thought. She said, part of the nature of religion is that it delivers a message that is like sandpaper against our culture of narcissism. I love that image. Because when we do hear, and what we talk about here, and what we read about in Scripture, and if we're really paying attention to Jesus and trying to be disciples, sometimes it feels like sandpaper on our life, rubbing against the grain of our ego, rubbing against the grain of our own desires, rubbing against the grain of our culture. It's not I was comfortable to be here, or to be a disciple for that matter. But if we do it, if we do the hard work, the wake, right, of being willing to rub that sandpaper on your life leaves a beautiful and refined person behind. I was talking with a friend recently, and the conversation, as it does with good friends, kind of went all over the map, and we were talking about different things, and at one point, the friend was sort of just kind of went on this monologue about kind of the sort of the madness of the world. Some of the things I had already mentioned in my list of lack of Sabbath, but even some of the social ills that constantly seem to be a problem and troubling across our world. And then he paused, and of course, knowing I was a pastor, I think, he looked at me and he said, man, we really need you, don't we? I've never received such a compliment and a challenge in the same sentence. Man, we really need you, don't we? After church today, we're going to have an annual meeting. And one of the ways, I guess, of looking at it is we're going to talk about the value of this place. And I don't know about you, but I really think we need a place to Sabbath, a people to Sabbath with, and we really need people like Trisha, Scott, and Elisa speaking into our lives, speaking into the lives of our children. And maybe even more, or really just as important, we need people like you, people willing to rub the sandpaper of Jesus' teachings over your lives so that you can be sandpaper to our world and our culture. We really need you. We need each other. We need to be reminded, I think, of what feeds the soul and not just the ego. We need to be reminded of what gives us life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.